Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome into January 6th. I'm at work. Where the hell are you? That's my question for you. I made it to work today. Ethan and I made it to work today, but Kim did not. Kim is at home this morning. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. I'm actually thankful I didn't even try.
I don't blame you. It would have been a nightmare, particularly. I mean, Ethan and I have four-wheel drive trucks, and that only helps you. Like, if you make it into the snowbank, you can probably get out if you have a four-wheel drive truck. I saw a number of cars off the road this morning that could not get out, and I felt bad for those people, but I was not in a situation to help them. So Sue said earlier that there had been literally like 400 or 500 calls for help to the highway patrol, and that's kind of what you're facing. If you don't have to leave your house, good for you. Kim, you look...
I feel bad if people have to get out. Obviously, there are people who have essential jobs. I get it. There could be emergencies. I understand. But I'm sorry. I don't feel that bad for the people who just decided to take a joyride, or no, they really desperately needed that Starbucks coffee or their big gulp from the local gas station. There are some really dumb reasons why people have gone out. And if you're stuck because of that, I'm sorry. I don't feel sympathy.
I don't know.
How many times have people said, do not leave your house if you don't have to?
I know. I hate to be the one to say that. If you don't have to get out, don't. I mean, there are some people like me, obviously, who needed to get out and get into the radio station and work today. And all the TV crews made it. You know, I brag about the fact that in, let's see, 31 years of television media in St. Louis, I've only missed an air shift one time, and that was in about 2011 or 12 when I was doing a Sunday weekend show here on the radio station, and we just decided that for that 2 hours it would be easier to run a best of than for me to try to get downtown, because it was a fairly bad storm. I probably could have made it, but that's the only time. I'm proud of that record. I mean, you got to be there. You got to go. But a lot, I would guess most businesses have either closed. I did see the QT near my house was open this morning. So some people have made it into work because those are places people depend on. You got to get gas. You got to be able to do stuff like that if you're out. So and hats off to the road crews. I was a little frustrated with the crew that was in front of me this morning because they were doing 8 miles an hour and I was almost late to work. But besides that, I do appreciate what you do. They've been out there all night trying to get this junk cleared. Just keep listening to Sue's traffic reports. From watching listening to her and watching some of the reports I've seen, it looks like most people are taking the advice and just staying off because almost everything's closed. It really is. Coming up a little later, we'll get to Kim on a whim. We do have Tom Ackerman. He made it into work today. My friend Jesse Jane Duff, who is probably in D.C. anyway, and they're about to get hit with a snowstorm there. We'll talk to her a little bit about the certification process that's supposed to happen a little later today. We'll get to both of them coming up in the next hour or so. But right now, Ethan, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Let's just be authentic and to the point. So I think people like you and I can bring this home by example. And don't use that idiotic NPR jargon when you're talking to voters.
I never use that idiotic NPR jargon when I'm talking to voters. That the raging Cajun there, James Carville, giving advice this weekend to the Democrats, he said, who always think they're smarter than everybody else. And they got to quit doing that. They guess they realized that, what, a year too late? I don't know.
Even in our intelligence agencies, you've seen this woke mind virus run amok.
The woke mind virus. Ron DeSantis wanting to shut all that down. You know, I have to say I'm a little surprised he didn't end up with a big job with the Trump administration. He was at a basketball game this weekend. I watched him. He was at the Florida-Kentucky game. So he's having no trouble moving around the country.
Donald, I'm a little disappointed. I saw a video of you possibly doing drugs. I was appalled and disgusted. I saw it on X. Was it a real video? I was adjusting a Zin in my mouth. I'm literally standing next to my father and Elon Musk in front of TV cameras. So just to be clear, not doing coke.
Yeah, Don Jr. there talking about the difference between he and Hunter Biden. Like, did anybody ever ask Hunter Biden that question, even though we know he was strung out on coke because we saw the laptop?
I know more world leaders than any one of you ever met in your whole life.
Wow. Kim?
He's an angry elf.
The leader of the free world is an angry old man, is what he is. He you know, there all these stories that leak out in the Washington Post and all these things about what it was like behind the scenes with Joe Biden having fits of rage and all this. And I don't know what role dementia plays in all of that. But yesterday he snapped at the media for daring to question him about something. You know, if you've been in Washington for 50 years, during which you accomplished a whole bunch of nothing, only for the most part things that hurt the country, I'll bet you have met more world leaders than I've met in my whole life. I would hope you had. You were president, vice president. I mean, you were plying the people in China and Russia and Ukraine to make more money for your son while you were in there. So, of course, you've met more world leaders. But for him to snap at the media like that yesterday, and this is while he was up there in Washington giving awards, Medal of Freedom awards, freedom to George Soros and Hillary Clinton. I mean, what has the world come to?
I saw he was giving one of the awards to, was it Denzel Washington?
Oh, did he really? I didn't see that.
Someone was joking as there was a picture of him, you know, putting the award on him. And he said, well, he probably thinks it's Obama.
I don't know. What is Denzel? I mean, I know they give them the actors all the time, but
I'm pretty sure I saw Denzel Washington getting one of these awards.
I didn't know that. I mean, he must have then flown back to walk to L.A. because he was at the award ceremony, right? The Golden Globes?
It was Denzel Washington. I just Googled it. Yep. Hmm. Or maybe, again, in Biden's mind, he probably thought it was Obama.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is that he gave one to Hillary Clinton, and you have to ask yourself, why? Why did he pick these people to give these awards to? It's embarrassing. It's like he's almost out, and on his way out, he's going to like stick the knife into all of his political critics and twist it a little bit on the way out. Please tell me one thing George Soros has done to make this country better. He's wasted millions of his money to get people like Kim Gardner and Alvin Bragg hired into positions of authority so they can defeat our judicial system. He's the biggest anti-American in the world. And Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, gave him a Medal of Freedom. It's embarrassing.
What was his reasoning for that? I'm sure he had to say something as he's putting that award around his neck.
I can't imagine. I don't know. And you know, I mean, it's to talk about going to the dark side. I shared this meme earlier with the evil senator from Star Wars. He's got the hood over his face, and you could see him there. That's who they edited that on top of Soros's head for this meme I put up there on Facebook. And it's the truth. I mean, I couldn't think of anyone who's the more opposite of somebody good and wholesome who might deserve a medal. Forget Hillary. It makes you forget Hillary Clinton. The fact that George Soros was there makes you forget how bad it is that he gave a Medal of Freedom to Hillary Clinton, who paid for the fake Steele dossier to try to beat her political opponent because she couldn't beat him fair and square. So she had to come up with some lies about him and feed that to the FBI. I mean, it just makes her Medal of Freedom pale in comparison to the one they gave to George Soros. I don't even know what else to say about that. It's unbelievable. Today is when they're going to do the electoral certification, which is a big deal, obviously. We're going to talk more about that when we come back in just a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. I don't know that he has many options here. That was Vladimir Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. He doesn't have many options, right? We count on Trump. Now he's all in for Trump. He really wanted... I'm hearing an echo. I don't know why. He really wanted to have Kamala Harris win because he knew the money pipeline would continue to flow to Ukraine. Had an interesting conversation at a New Year's Eve party we got invited to. There was a guy there who works with here now with international students. He's like a pastor. He works like Christian students who are here from international countries visiting or going to school. But he spent about 9 years in the Ukraine, and he was fascinated when he heard that I was a talk show host, and he wanted to know my take on what's going on in Ukraine. And I don't think he liked my answer very much, but to be honest with you, because I'm like, well, you know, here's the deal. I've always felt this way. The Republicans aren't the one that screwed up in Ukraine. Barack Obama let Russia take part of Ukraine and Crimea and didn't do anything about it. Nothing. And then in the preceding 8 years or 9 years from that happening to when Joe Biden took over and Russia invaded the northern part of Ukraine, Ukraine did nothing to prepare for that. They didn't boost their military. They didn't, that I'm aware of. They did nothing to strengthen their defenses in the northern part of the country. Nothing. And then you have to go back to the agreement Bill Clinton made with them to give up all of their nuclear weapons in return for a promise from Russia that they wouldn't invade them. So America, Bill Clinton talked them into doing that. Or they wouldn't be invaded right now if they still had their nuclear weapons, because Russia wouldn't mess with them. But he worked through yet another Democrat administration to weaken them, weaken their defenses. And I just don't think they've done enough for themselves over the years. That doesn't mean I think they deserve to have been invaded. But my country is $36 trillion in debt. And I'm not happy that the current occupant of the White House keeps writing $30, $40, and $50 billion checks to Ukraine to keep them afloat.
With no accountability, by the way, on where that money is going. And
yes,
when we finally did get some accountability, remember, Mark, it were ridiculous things that I think nobody in their right mind would have been okay with.
Yes.
Knowing that's how they were spending the money.
It is not a matter to me of liking or not liking the Ukraine or not thinking that the invasion by Russia was horrible, because I think that it was, and not thinking that we shouldn't play some role in trying to help them and Europe provide some support for them. But I don't see that they have done hardly anything for themselves in 9 or 10 or 12 years since Crimea was invaded to start to build up their own defenses to prevent this from happening in the first place. So it's a pickle. And I certainly support Trump trying to make peace. But at this point, peace is a settlement. And Zelensky is not going to like that. To have peace over there right now, you're not going to get Russia back above the border without sending troops in from the U.S. or NATO. That's not going to happen. He's not going to give up those areas he's conquered. So they're going to have to once again reach some sort of an agreement where Russia has stolen yet another piece of Ukraine. And it's an untenable situation. But that war could drag on for years if they don't do something like that, in my personal opinion. Which brings up the Middle East. Tony Blinken's trying to get an agreement over there in the 2 weeks before he leaves town. What's he willing to give up to get that? And will Israel hold strong? We'll talk more about all of that and what Kash Patel might do at the FBI when we come back.
So I'm watching the dilemma of the Kansas City Chiefs airplane, which got trapped on the runway in Kansas City because of icing. And they were afraid they weren't going to make it to Denver. Now, after the results of the game, they would have been better off if they hadn't made it to Denver, because without Mahomes and everybody playing, they got embarrassed by the Denver Broncos. I mean, come on. But just to tell you, they did get just as bad snow over in on the western part of the state as we did. And we've got Kendall Smith with us, a meteorologist with Fox Weather. Kendall, good morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, I'm a big Chiefs fan. And that was a tough loss yesterday, to say the least.
It was kind of hard to watch. I'm sure they were probably thinking, man, we could have just stayed home. I know they couldn't do that. I'm glad they got out of there. But we probably got anywhere from 12 inches north of St. Louis and to the east and north, and probably mostly ice and a little bit of snow to the south. What happened in KC?
Yeah, so for us in Kansas City, we officially had a report of 11 inches yesterday at Kansas City International Airport, which was the fourth largest single-day snowfall total that we've ever seen on record here in Kansas City. And that dates all the way back to 1888. So it's been a long time, to say the least.
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, this thing hit such a large stretch of the country. It sounds like D.C.'s getting it at some point today, it looks like. Same system, right?
Mm-hmm, the exact same storm system. What's so interesting about this system is that it actually evolved over the weekend, so it was in the Pacific Northwest. And what's so surprising and something that we oftentimes don't talk about is the fact that it also prompted our first tornado warning of the year, which was in California, oddly enough. And then the storm raced its way across the Rockies and then, of course, into the plains, where it did just a number on us here in Kansas City and you all as well, just off to the east of us. And so in terms of where we go from here, really, it's the fact that it's the Ohio and Tennessee River valleys that are taking it on the chin right now with all of the heavy snow and the ice concerns. And then eventually this system will skirt off the East Coast by later tonight. But you're right. I mean, D.C., all the way over to Louisville, I mean, so many folks are in the path of this really impactful winter storm.
What
I thought was so interesting was yesterday here in the St. Louis area, we had thunder snow. So I remember seeing all the snow falling and they were describing it as hamster size flakes. And then you hear our lights flash and then you hear the thunder. You just don't see that very often.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we also experienced thunder snow here, which was very exciting. It is a rather rare phenomenon that doesn't happen all that often. So for myself as a meteorologist, I've talked about it countless times, but I have never actually gotten to experience it live on air out in the elements. So that was a first for me, very exciting. But essentially, I mean, it's just a thunderstorm that occurs during, obviously, the winter, and the main precipitation type is snow as opposed to rain.
It was pretty bad, and I know now we're getting single-digit temperatures tonight, so it's not going away anytime soon, right?
No, I mean, January and winter is here, and it's here to stay for a while. That's the big issue. I mean, for us, at least this morning, I was just taking a look. Our temperatures, I woke up this morning. I'm curious to know what time you all woke up, but I woke up about 1:45 this morning, and it was quite a bit warmer than it was now. So that's just kind of how this is all playing out for us. Our temperatures are dropping and dropping like a rock. Yep. We're sitting at 90 degrees in Kansas City with a wind chill of -6.
Wow. Well, stay warm out there. Kendall Smith, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thank you. Kendall Smith is a meteorologist now for Fox Weather, and she used to work out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Kim. So she's clearly used to Midwest weather issues, and then she got to Fox Weather. So I thought it was pretty interesting since she was in there. We were trying to get Mike Seidel, who's also with Fox Weather, who's reporting from St. Louis this morning, but we just can't seem to get that worked out with the folks up at Fox. I don't know why. The guy's down the street here somewhere, and I can't seem to get him on the radio. I don't know why. That's frustrating.
Maybe. It sounds like we were one of the hardest hit areas. I know, obviously, Kansas City was hit really hard.
Yeah, but nobody will care after today because it's going to hit D.C. And then all of the national media will forget about the middle of the country and they're all going to head over there.
The problem is, though, they're going to have a hard time getting there because, I mean, you just go look at the outgoing flights at St. Louis Airport, for example, and so many of them this morning when I was looking, delayed, canceled. So I don't know how all these Fox people are going to keep traveling different places when a lot of these airports are, again, canceling flights.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking at a couple of the traffic cameras. Fox 2's got punched up on the TV, and it still looks like on a lot of roads there's like one lane that's got some clearance on it, maybe two. And people are traveling 30, 40 miles an hour. So we're gonna have a mess. And I'm sure Sue's going to have her hands full with what we've got left of this morning and again this afternoon. Because like Ethan and I were saying, we're probably now more concerned about the drive home than we were about getting in here this morning because of the extra traffic that'll be on the roads.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's true. And I mean, some of the, well, I guess it obviously hasn't been raining this morning, but I would think that some of that snow has been packed down and maybe freezing even more so where it's slicker. I don't know. I mean, I know a plow has not even touched my street yet. It looks bad from my vantage point outside my house in the St. Charles area.
Well, I'm glad that you're tucked in your den there and you're safe and sound. You don't have to worry about venturing. Although I will mention the Cox Uber service did offer to pick you up this morning.
You did, and I appreciate that, but I also appreciate more being in my warm home and not having to venture out in that crazy weather.
I don't blame you.
He didn't offer that to me.
No, well, you live way the hell down south. She's
how
not that
rude
far away.
Come on.
I know. But when my phone rang this morning and it said Ethan Bright on it, I'm like, oh, boy. I don't know how to run that board like Reardon, and if Ethan is not making it in today, I'm in trouble. I don't know what, I'm not quite sure what we would have done if you hadn't been able to make it in, Ethan. So you're the cog in this wheel.
You're the MVP, something. Ethan.
You are the MVP, absolutely. Got all the technology working. He's had to call Fox on the side and argue with him over why Mike Seidel can't give me 5 minutes of his precious time since he's right down the street here. Mike and I worked at the same TV station years ago, so I thought it'd be fun to get him on since they went to the trouble to send him all the way to St. Louis, but they could not see their way clear to do that. So that's kind of the truth of where we are this morning. Back to content here. The drop and flop that's happening in D.C. over January 6th is amazing to me. Now, if you missed our interview earlier with Hans von Spakovsky, that was at about 6:20. You can go back and find it on the if you hit rewind on the Odyssey app, or we'll get it up on the podcast. Interesting because the Democrats changed the Electoral Count Act and kind of screwed themselves. Right. Because before, when I was in D.C. for January 6th in 2021, all it took was one House member and one senator to stand up and oppose an electoral slate. And what that did was trigger debate. It triggered 4 hours of debate as to what. So both sides got to go. The side defending the electoral slate got to stand up and argue for 2 hours. And the side that had a problem with it got to stand up and argue for 2 hours. And then the House had to vote on whether or not to reject that electoral slate and send it back to the state and tell them to look at it again because we think there's something wrong here. It was one of the greatest safeguards in our constitutional system. But the Democrats, in their knee-jerk reaction to the protest on January 6th, which was not an insurrection, at all in any way, shape, or form. If it was, it would have been the only unarmed insurrection in the history of the world. That's why it's so stupid to call it that. In their knee-jerk reaction to do something to stop anybody from ever trying that again, even though it was put in there as a safeguard to keep a fraudulent election from being certified. So now they've raised it to where it requires a 20% of the members of the House and Senate have to stand up and oppose an electoral slate before it can go to that same 4 hours of debate. It's silly season is what it is in Washington. But now if the Democrats like Jamie Raskin and some of these others want to stand up and challenge the Donald Trump election, they can't do it. They don't have enough people to stand up and do it and challenge it, even if they wanted to, even if they thought there was fraud somewhere in, Iowa, because the polling showed Iowa might go for Kamala and it didn't. And if they wanted to stand up and challenge that, now they can't. So they kind of shot themselves in the foot with their overreaction to this. I wonder if the Republicans can go back and change the Electoral Count Act back to what it was. They can do things now through reconciliation without needing the Democrats. So maybe they can go back and fix this problem. I don't think they will, but they could and they should, in my opinion. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. Kim, what are we talking about?
Well, it turns out that Joe Biden and the First Lady, they'll be traveling to New Orleans today to visit the families of the New Year's attack victims. I don't know if you saw this, Mark, but apparently that attacker visited New Orleans twice in the weeks before that attack, and he was wearing something very specific. I want to talk about that.
All right. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
So it sounds like the New Orleans terrorist attacker, Samsa Dinjabar, the 42-year-old who was from Texas, he'd visited New Orleans twice in the weeks before that attack, and he was wearing those Meta glasses, those thick black framed glasses where you can record video. So he was riding his bicycle around that area in New Orleans, and he was recording video on those two separate occasions.
Well, I mean, certainly it wouldn't get anybody's attention, because if he was driving around with a video camera, maybe, but nobody could tell he was recording, right?
Yeah, and the thing nowadays, though, is that everyone's glued to their phone and they're taking videos to post on TikTok, and so you don't really think anything of it. But to your point, I mean, these glasses are designed in such a way that you don't realize that somebody has that ability to be recording. In fact, what I read was that they allow the user to potentially live stream. They're telling us, authorities are saying that he was not live streaming the attack itself, but he was, in fact, wearing him on that day. It's so creepy. The more I learn about this whole situation, it just gives me the chills. Like, for example, Mark, did you hear about how he had his Quran open to a particular passage, a very specific passage? And I don't know much about the Quran, but it was left open to 9-1-1-1, which obviously is very chilling because it makes us think of September 11th, 2001.
Right.
And that specific passage refers to the need for Muslims to basically slay in order to get their spot in paradise.
Oh, perfect.
So he intentionally left it open to that spot when they went and found the bombs he had been making. He had like a bomb making station where he was staying, and then the Quran that was open to that really chilling passage.
Well, here's the deal. Barack Obama tried to eliminate the phrase radical Islamic terrorism, but that's what this is. It's very much alive. It's called for in their own Quran. Fortunately, most Muslims ignore that, the radical side of what they see there. But he'll be defended by people like the Council on American Islamic Relations as not being, like, when you use the words radical Islamic terrorism, they don't want to hear that. But that's what it is.
Right. Well, I mean, think about that. I remember Obama wouldn't even say that, by the
way.
No,
he wouldn't use those words,
which was so frustrating. I feel like what we're about to see in the next couple of weeks is people talking about how you guys are unfairly targeting other Muslims, and that's just not fair to them, and they're the victims here. And I'm not saying that you should be rude or anything like that to a Muslim just because they are. I'm just making the comment that tends to be what happens, right? Like, we saw the whole situation play out with that school, the horrific school shooting in Nashville, right? Where it was a trans student who went in and murdered several kids, and I think a teacher or two. And remember how the narrative shifted within had to be about 48 hours, where they were saying the trans community really is the victim here because they're the ones who are being targeted now in light of this.
Right.
Remember that?
Right, I do remember.
That's how I feel like that to me is how the narrative is going to shift here. I'm not advocating for you going out and treating someone in such a way just because of.
No, of course not.
That, but I'm just making the comment that it's very frustrating in a situation like this when you have several people, innocent people who were mowed over basically and shot. And it's just sad how quickly things can change. I'm just curious if they're going to make any sort of a tie between the Trump hotel explosion. They've tried to claim that there's no connection. But I mean, you and I have even talked about the fact that you're telling me that it just so happened that these occurred on the same day within a matter of hours, and these two guys were in the military together. Was it the same base? Is that right?
That is true, but although they haven't been able to show that they were in the same unit or knew each other, supposedly.
I find it very odd.
Maybe when Kash Patel takes over, we'll find out more details on that, I suspect.
Looking forward to hearing how the trip goes with Joe Biden and the First Lady today when they visit the families of the victims.
Yes. And of course, we'll have coverage of that for you tomorrow. Coming up, we'll get to Jesse Jane Duff, talk to her about what's going on in D.C. today because she's up there. And Tom Ackerman at the bottom of the hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.